You are worthy, our Lord and God, to receive all glory, honor, and power. For you alone are the Creator, and by your will you created everything. Amen.
Amen.
You may be seated. Thank you, team, for leading us this morning. Wasn't that great? What a beautiful worship set. You know what I loved about that worship set is so often we get so stuck here on this earth, right, with all of our circumstances and what we're going through. And that worship set, did you listen to the lyrics? It reminded me of eternal worship. You know, this is not our home. We're just passing through. Can you only imagine, again, worshiping forever and ever, you know, in heaven? It just, again, it's just so hard. And it's in those moments when the body of Christ, I just really believe, so good to come together as the body of Christ to worship, offer this to God, and be reminded of this heavenly worship that is ours because of who Christ is in our lives. Well, welcome this morning. I'm glad you're here with us. I'm Eric. Again, I have the privilege of sharing God's word with you. We're in this series called Relationships Matter. And it's interesting, even as we worship this morning, you know, God is so holy, high and lifted up. And yet I can tell you in my own experience, in the stories that I hear in the congregation, is that God is a very personal God, right? I mean, this is the amazing thing about God, high and lifted up, holy, 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 and yet personal. He wants to have a personal relationship with his creation, with each one of you. And so relationships matter in every area of our life. We're seeing this in our homes. We see it in our neighborhoods, in our jobs, in our church. Relationships matter. And yet, even in that, in every area of our life, in all of those areas, we also know, and here's the topic of today, that there can be conflict. I mean, in every area of our life, we can have conflict in our homes, conflict in our neighborhoods, conflict in our jobs, even conflict in the church. So what do we want to do about those things? I mean, certainly God wants to meet us as a relational God to help us in those conflicts. Take a moment as we get started. Think about the best relationship you have. I mean, the one that's you're closest to this person, it's the most satisfying relationship. Let me ask you just a couple questions, and you can kind of assess just a little bit. In this relationship that you are really close to this person, could be a spouse, could be a friend, another relative, have you ever felt misunderstood by this person? Have you ever been hurt by what they said? Have you ever felt like you haven't been heard by this person? Remember, this is your closest relationship. Have you ever disagreed on a decision with this person? And have you ever struggled to resolve a conflict with this person? You see, conflict is a natural part of our lives. We're going to understand this better in just a moment. But I want you to watch this video, and it's simply called The Fight.
You come out here to talk about parenting styles?
You know, we have a sensitive daughter, Jace. She cries when you look at her sideways, never mind the tone of voice you use with her.
Sorry, I haven't read as many parenting books as you, but maybe she just needs to learn to cope. Not getting to read a book before bed, it's not the end of the world.
You use the same tone of voice with me.
Sometimes you cry when you don't get to read your Kindle at night. Me, I'm more of a Netflix guy, so it's really not...
Stop! Okay, just stop it. Everything is a joke with you. I feel like we're not communicating anymore.
Okay. This is about us. Oh, you communicate great. Yeah, with the way you undermine me all the time in front of her. And in front of everyone, for that matter. Our friends, our family. You cut my legs off at the knees and it's emasculating.
You do that all on your own, Jace. We're supposed to be rubbing off on each other. We're supposed to be finding the good in one another.
Yeah.
Not just you affecting me.
So what am I missing?
I feel like Like I'm the one doing all the bending. I know how much I've changed
what?
Over the years.
Are
and if you
kidding
could just...
me? You're doing all the bending. You are.
You used to. When we first got married, everything was just so...
We were different. We were kids. What are you not saying?
I'm just saying, you never want to talk about us.
Well, that's calling the kettle black, isn't it? Coming from the person that makes indirect comments about everything I say and do because you're so afraid of conflict? Why don't you just come out and say it? I'm not like you, and that's the problem, right?
Well, surely I'm of some use to you. You're not just here for my benefit. I'm here for you, too. I'm just telling you that you could just...
And I'm telling you, I'm not your father. I'm sorry. I love you. I love our daughter. I'm not going anywhere. But I'm not your dad, and I'm being punished for the way he treated you, and then it's not fair.
Right. So I guess I'm just some poster child for daddy issues. All in one sentence. Congratulations. I'm glad we got that settled.
That's not what I said. You misunderstood me.
I'm going to bed.
We used to assume the good.
We used to see the best in each other.
That's how it ends. Unresolved conflict. Maybe you could relate to that argument, that fight they were having. Did you pick a side? Who was right? Who was wrong? And I can say again, in relationships, in every area, conflict is inevitable. Matter of fact, I would say that if you're in a relationship that really matters, you have to have conflict because you have to be honest. The only way to be honest is to enter into the conflict. And so even in that video clip, I left you in the tension because there is no part two. There just isn't. And the truth is, we don't know how it ends. Maybe they end in divorce. Maybe they never resolve it. I don't know how it ends, but it doesn't really matter about a video couple, right? God is much more personal. What about you this morning? Most of you, many of you, I want to choose my words. I get anxious about talking about a message like this because it's so easy to be misunderstood, right? I would say many of you, or even most of you right now, are in some kind of conflicted relationship. Or if you're not, you will be soon. Holidays are coming. And so isn't it important to know, what am I going to do? It's not if, it's when. What are you going to do when it happens? And so the one part is understanding if we are to expect them, why? You know, why does it happen? Well, the scriptures make it very clear, Romans 3:23, all have, do we not know that verse? All have sinned. Thank you, Bob, for stepping up. All have sinned. We fall short of the glory of God. It's just that easy. You put sinful people together in any relationship, and they're going to hurt each other. There's going to be conflict for sure. And so when we think about conflict, when conflict shows up, and many of us don't want it to show up, but when it shows up, it doesn't just go away. It doesn't disappear. You can't sweep it under the carpet. When conflict shows up in your life, it is there, and it will stay there until you resolve it. And so when we think about conflict, oftentimes we think about the differences. And yes, there's misunderstandings, there's difference of values or beliefs, and even there are times when we are sinned against. And those are hurtful times. But it's not so much what's happening, what's going on. Really what is causing the conflict is the emotions, right? Because when someone has been hurt, they're mad. And for some of you, even in hearing this message, you may need to take a step to deal with your anger, because one of the indicators of unresolved conflict is anger, and it can come fast and furious. And so this, I heard this a long time ago. It's always just stuck, and I believe in my experience it's true, is hurt people hurt people. Have you ever heard that? I've seen it in my life as a prison chaplain, as a pastor. I've seen it in my own family. Hurt people hurt people. It's what they do. It's what comes out. You know that illustration of what comes out when you're squeezed like a tube of toothpaste. So if you're hurt and you're a hurting person, when you're squeezed, the hurt comes out on others, and oftentimes it's anger. But if you have joy and you're squeezed, then joy comes out. If you're full of love and you're squeezed, love comes out. If you have peace when you're squeezed, then peace comes out. You can certainly agree, conflicts hurt. And again, just in my reading for this message, do you realize that thousands, I mean, we're talking thousands of people, Christian and non-Christian, around our nation, every year leave their jobs because of unresolved conflict. It has nothing to do about the work to do, and it's about the people they're conflicted with trying to do the job. How many people leave their homes? I mean, thousands of people move out of their apartments or move out of their neighborhoods because of unresolved conflict with neighbors. They don't want to deal with it. I'm going to sell my house. People leave churches. Say it's not so. People leave churches because they have unresolved conflict. Do you know that families are broken and shattered every year because of divorce? Again, thousands, Christian and non-Christian, because of the unwillingness or the inability of two people to resolve their conflict. Divorce is easier. Families, parenting. How many parents can be estranged with their kids or extended family because of unresolved conflict? And that's why I say, most or many of you, even here this morning, if you're living life and you're in relationship, you probably have some conflict somewhere. What would you like to do about that? Because Jesus has some really good words to help us through this hurt. And I have a note here. How do you know? Just want to make sure. How do you know if you have unresolved conflict, if I haven't convinced you already? One is you have unresolved conflict if you see this person and you avoid them, you go the other way. That's how you know you're conflicted with that person. So eyes, let's see. When you hear about that person, you know someone's talking about that person, you have nothing that you want to hear that's good about that person. You know, it's kind of a stirs an emotion of, oh, that person. See them, hear them. When you think about them, it's amazing when you're in conflict with someone, it's almost like they begin to ruminate in your mind, that person, if they would have done that, I can't believe they said it. So now you begin to ruminate. They're in your head when you're in conflict with someone. Eyes, ears, head, mouth. You know you're in conflict when you have nothing good to say about this person. All you do is spew negativity about this person. So now use those indicators. That will help you know if you're in conflict. So let's figure out. Here, I'll just give you the simplest ways. Here are the three ways. And people can come up with other ways, but I'm keeping it simple. Three ways to deal with conflict. The avoider. The runner, right? Now, again, I can take a moment for those that are in the room. I am, and I can prove it to you, a card-carrying conflict avoider. I carry a card, says conflict avoider. Any other conflict avoiders in the room? I know there's a lot of you out there. Come on, be honest. Avoiders? All right, let's pass some cards around. Take one if you want one. Just, I mean, again, practically wanting to help you. So that when you get into a tension, someone's just coming at you a little bit and you feel conflicted, you just, I just pull the card out. Hey, you know what? I'm not dealing with it because I am a conflict avoider. There's my card. Just lay off. We're not going there. Right? That's what conflict avoiders do. They're runners. It's coming and they run. Now, I want to say this. I have been, am a, that's my natural tendency, conflict avoider. I will say this just out of love for the church. The leaders here in the church have addressed this and ministered to me in this, been honest to me about this. How about that? I mean, they caused conflict for me by telling me, you know what, Eric, you got problems when it comes to conflict evaluation. I'm trying to pull out the card. Hey, wait a second. But see, that's what love does. They evaluate and they say, you know what, Eric, it hurts the church when you're not dealing with the things you need to be dealing. We love you enough to tell you to address this. So that's what love does, conflict avoiders. The other one is the attacker. And the attacker, as the conflict style is, it's all about winning, right? If you are an attacker, I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand because that just scares me. You know, if I know how many attackers are in here, it's like, ugh. Attackers want to win. They want to win the argument. They want to show that they're right at all cost. Take a moment, make a fist. Kids, you'll like this. Make a fist really tight. If you're sitting there, come on, make a fist. Got that fist? Squeeze it nice and tight. If you're sitting next to someone and you want to just try to get that fist undone. Try to reach over. Kids, try to reach over and try to get that fist undone. Right? That's the attacker. They just, not letting go of this. No matter how hard you try, this is my style. Very aggressive. So we have the avoiders, we have the attackers, and then we're going to see Jesus is looking for the peacemaker. So I'm keeping it simple. Obviously, this is what we want to be. Jesus is calling us to be peacekeepers. Blessed are those who are peacekeepers because they will be called children of God. You see, if you're walking with Jesus and you're saying, I'm a child of God, then God says, then I know you're a peacekeeper. You're not an avoider. You're not an attacker. You are a peacekeeper. You're that light and that salt that the world needs to see. All right, you got your Bibles? We're going to go look at some passages in Matthew. Again, pretty straightforward. Jesus is going to give us a strategy of how to resolve conflict. This first one in Matthew 5 comes from the Sermon on the Mount. And then the second one in Matthew 18 has to do with church discipline. And yet, even in church discipline, this principle certainly would apply to any conflict, even outside of the church in your homes. And so let's take a moment and hear Jesus' words, beginning in Matthew 5, verses 23-24. Jesus says, therefore, if you are offering your gift at the altar and there remember that your brother or sister has something against you, leave your gift there in front of the altar. First, go and be reconciled to them. Then come and offer your gift. And then turning to Matthew 18, church discipline dealing with sin, verses 15 and 16, Jesus says, if your brother or sister sins, go and point out their fault just between the two of you. If they listen to you, you have won them over. But if they will not listen, take one or two others along so that every matter may be established by the testimony of two or three witnesses. Now, let me point out a couple things here. First of all, did you notice that when you have offended someone, what are you to do? You are to go to them. Right? When you've offended someone, you've hurt someone, you go to them to make it right. Did you see the other one? When someone has offended you, when someone has hurt you, what are you to do? You are to go to them. You are to take that first step. You are, as a peacemaker, you are to initiate. Either way, whether you've been offended or whether they've offended you, Jesus says you need to go and begin to resolve this. Now, I want to just say again, I realize here in the room that I don't want to minimize. Some of you, I know some of you are going through some really tough stuff. Family of origin hurts, even current pain and things, even abuse. And so I don't want to minimize these things or make light of these things. All I'm saying is that no matter where you are, Jesus is saying, don't get stuck. That's the hardest thing. Don't get stuck in the hurt and in the conflict. Because if you get stuck and you're not going to go and try to resolve this, try to deal with this, then you're going to get stuck and it's going to fester, right? And that conflict festers and it stews, and then bitterness comes. It's interesting in marriage counseling with couples, and some can come in after, you know, 15, 20 years or more, and you begin to unwrap some of the issues, you know, what's going on in the real conflict and the emotions. And it is always striking to me that they can dig up, bring back things from 10 years ago. Well, you know, she's always been like this. 10 years ago, she did this. Oh, 5 years ago, you said this and you did that. Isn't that interesting? Why is that? Because it's always there. If it's not resolved, you may think you swept it away, but it will always come back. And so Jesus is simply saying, no matter what you're going through, no matter how hard it is, you need to move through that conflict. Now, there's consequences for not going through that conflict, and we'll look at those in just a moment. But before you go, first principle, before you go, you need to have a conversation. And it's not with the other person yet that you're conflicted with. And it's not with your best friend. Who do you think this conversation should be with? God. Do you know how many times we miss that? Because our emotions are going and we're so upset, we don't even stop long enough to say, God, I want to talk to you about this because I'm mad, I'm hurt, I'm sad, whatever that feeling is, whatever they did to you. That first conversation has to be to your Heavenly Father, to talk to Him. And the first thing God's going to do, and we did this last week, so I want to just remind you real quick, is the first thing God's going to do is He's not going to say, oh yeah, that knucklehead out there, you know, I can't believe they said that either. Let's go get him. No, God loves you enough to go, you know what? Let's start with you. Your eye. Your plank. Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, when all the time there is a plank in your own eye? And listen, we saw this last week. If you didn't hear that message, go back and listen to it. Because that's how ridiculous it is. And here again, when it comes to judging people, when you begin to judge the motives, the circumstances, and the heart of another person, you are way out of bounds. You are now in God land. And you have no business being there. Who are you to judge the motives, the circumstances, or the heart of another person? Jesus says, take that plank out of your own eye, your own selfishness, your own self-righteousness. See your own stuff in this, even if it is just 10%. It may be 90% the other person, but deal with your 10%. Be honest. You have a better chance of winning the lottery without a ticket than being able to judge the heart of any individual. And yet some of you think you are so smart and adept at doing this that I got this person pegged. I know exactly who they are or what they're like. And Jesus says, take the plank out of your own eye. Begin with yourself. Pride. Pride leads to conflict. I'm telling you, pride, selfishness. It's in every one of us. We want our own way. And so God, the first conversation before you go to anyone is deal with your own stuff. Figure out what is yours, your own pride, your own selfishness, your own needs, and then decide what you need to do at that moment. James 4:1, what causes fights and quarrels among you? Don't they come from your desires that battle within you? Right? this self-centeredness. So let me flip it, this peacemaker part, Philippians 2. How do you come to someone? Again, God's word says, not looking to your own interest. That word look means to, like a microscope. You know, just really pay attention. You want to understand where this other person's coming from. You want to seek to understand them. Not looking to your own interest, but each of you to the interest of the others. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus. You want to talk about Jesus for a moment? I can give you one. He was selfless. One of the hardest things to hear, one of the hardest things to practice is to give up your right to be right. And that's what Jesus did. I mean, Jesus is hanging on the cross. He was perfect and selfless and laid down his life, peacemaker. And yet we want to take these things and we want to drive them home. And it's not anything like Jesus. So that first thing that Jesus wants us to do is look at yourself. Take the plank out of your own eye. Think about how you're going to approach this person. What are the words that you would want to say? Here's the principles. Go quickly. Don't let it stew. Don't let it fester. Don't let it rule your life. Don't bring it up 20 years from now in a counseling room because it's still there. Jesus says, go quickly. I mean, immediately begin to deal with this. Come before me. I'll help you. I'll give you the power of the Holy Spirit. I'll help you discern. But then go, deal with it. Don't linger in it. Therefore, if you have an offering at the altar, and there remember your brother or sister has something against you, leave your gift right there. Go first and be reconciled and then come back. Before you have that big Thanksgiving dinner, maybe there's a family member you know you're conflicted with. Well, go deal with that conflict before you sit at that table and not talk about what's really going on. It's not very loving. Jesus says to do it face to face. Oh, here's the consequences. I don't want to miss that. Here are the consequences if you don't. If you don't go quickly and you choose to let it fester, one, it will block your relationship with God. It does. It blocks your relationship with God. It blocks your relationship in worship. If you don't go and resolve the conflict, it will hinder your prayer life. And I think one of the biggest ones is that it will also hinder your happiness. Has anyone ever been in a conflict? I know some of these take time. Has anyone ever been in a conflict and it just felt good? And it made you feel good? No, when you're in conflict, it takes that happiness, that joy. You want it resolved. So don't attack it, don't avoid it, be a peacemaker. Get it resolved so that you can have that joy and happiness. Go quickly. Jesus says go face to face. Again, face to face, the two of you. So one-on-one. Again, this is a little different in our society because again, Jesus is saying be direct, be private, be personal, right there with that person. We live in a different day than Jesus, right? So we probably need to help Jesus with this one and say, well, you know what, Jesus, we can't really do face-to-face because now we have texting, Jesus. Much easier to text the person and tell them what we're thinking about them. Or we can certainly Twitter them, or now it's called X, right? And we have this social media. When Jesus said go face to face, he didn't say go Facebook to Facebook. And so much of conflict happens on social media, doesn't it? It's so easy, seems so convenient, and yet it doesn't bring resolve. Oftentimes it brings more conflict. Again, helpful advice for some of you. You can't tell me, you walk out of here, man, that pastor did that, so helpful. Don't do it. But we do. We do. I can't believe you said that. And Jesus says that we are to go again, face to face. Turn and face each other. Did you notice in the video clip? They weren't facing each other, were they? She was behind him and he was turned. Conflict. Real reconciliation begins when you can begin face to face, look at each other. And then one on one. Again, in that space, create that time where you can be physically together, just one on one. And what's one on one mean? What's one on one mean? Bring your friend, go to someone else first, post it, and then go to the person. What's one on one mean? One on one, keep the circle small. I'm telling you, this verse right here, if your brother sins, if they hurt you, do something, you go to them and you talk to them about it, just the two of you. Sit down, tell them how it hurt you, tell them how you want to see this relationship be reconciled and grow, you want them in your life. I'm telling you, I can't give a stat, the vast majority of relational conflict would end right there. Right there. I've seen it. I've experienced it. Just go talk to the person. And when you have that conversation, oftentimes it takes one conversation, one face-to-face, one-on-one, meaningful, honest conversation, one time, done. Done. Resolved in a quick, timely fashion. And most of the time, the person says, thank you for being honest. I didn't know I hurt. It was a misunderstanding. Now I better understand where you're coming from. Or will you forgive me? But the avoiders don't go. We stew. The attackers hurt. And Jesus says, be a peacemaker. Go quickly. Go face to face. Go. And it can be resolved right there. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth, but only what is helpful for those, for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who hear. Words matter. I say warmth, empathy, and respect. In the conversations, again, to listen well, help me understand, but in that understanding, to show warmth, empathy, and respect for that person. Now, I can give you, again, just some practical things here. You show me anywhere in the Bible, now I'm just going to tell you, the Bible says you are not to quarrel and just argue for arguing's sake. If you're a believer here this morning and you're arguing all the time and quarreling, the Bible says you shouldn't be doing that. That you should not be slandering others. Well, what do we mean by slandering? Quit gossiping. You thought judgment was hard last week. Do not judge. Quit gossiping about other people. Bible says there is nowhere in the Bible says, yeah, it's okay to gossip about them. They deserve it. Nowhere. Peacemakers do not gossip. Peacemakers do not argue and quarrel. Peacemakers do not slander. Peacemakers are peacemakers. They speak wholesome words. They speak God words. They speak peacemaker words. They step in it because they love that person. All right. Last part of Jesus' strategy. First, again, get alone. What do I need to do? Second, go quickly. Deal with it in a timely way. Third, do it face to face, one on one, right there with that person. What happens after that meeting? And sometimes it does, certainly does. It's not resolved. Might have even got worse. I've seen that happen. Where now it becomes more tense. What are you to do? Well, at that point, you just shut it down because you tried and it's bad news. Now it's really bad. Shut it down. Is that what you are to do? What did Jesus say? Jesus said, get help. Because he loves you, said you got to move through it. You can't just stop because, again, you got to resolve it. You got to resolve it. Whatever it takes, move through it and resolve it. He said, if they will not listen, take one or two others along. Now, in church discipline, you may bring elders. But again, in a conflict in home, you may just bring some friends, someone that you know is respected to help you, to help the other person, to be that mediator, to listen in order to bring resolve to the conflict. What Jesus is saying is not easy at this point. You begin to expand the circle in order to resolve the conflict in the relationship. because the relationship matters so much. Realize that conflicts are opportunities. And Romans 8:28 says, you know, that in all things, God works together for the good. In all things, even in conflict. Again, I can testify in my own experience that when people have loved me enough to tell me when I've hurt them, offended them, been misunderstood, then it gets resolved. And it's an opportunity for us to grow. Not only to undergo in our character, but to grow in our love for one another. I would say those that have been honest enough to come to me in my own life, even as I try to avoid, I know they love me because it's so hard to take that step. But it shows great love, and those opportunities are right there that God gives us. So choose peace this morning. I'm going to invite the team to come up. And that's just that simple. Choose to be a peacemaker. It's a choice. And as we close this morning, maybe already you're already stirred as to there's a conflicted relationship in your life, whether at work, in your neighborhood, in your family. And so I know the Holy Spirit is not going to just let you walk out of here without feeling that conviction. What would you like to do with it? How are you going to choose peace? Well, again, if you look at Jesus as we close this morning, Jesus chose to come. And as he came, again, to reconcile this broken relationship we had with God, right? Can you imagine if Jesus hadn't come, but he came to reconcile the relationship with you? And Jesus came to you. He wasn't waiting for you because you were a sinner. You would never have come to Jesus. And Jesus says, we have a conflict here. Your sin is keeping you from God. I love you so much that he came quickly. He came face to face. He came personally. And he said, let's deal with this sin. Let's resolve this because I want to have a relationship with you today. That's grace. Grace. And so as a peacemaker, when you discern, do I go to this other person? You always go to extend grace because that's what was given to you by Jesus, right? And that grace, when you go by grace, you may love them and speak some hard words, but in grace, in love, and whether they receive them or not, you've done all that God has asked you to do. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. And that just simply says, first of all, that maybe after you've done everything and you have a clear conscience, maybe there are sometimes things are just not going to be resolved because the other person is just not going to do it. But you have a clear conscience that you've done everything you needed to do. And the other is just that clear conscience that I know I've obeyed God in this and I can lay it down and I'm free to worship and to love and to have that joy. No one's going to snatch that from me. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, as we close this morning again, we thank you for the truth of your word. And we ask this morning that as you minister in our midst, that you would find us obedient. There are those here in the room watching online who have even this morning broken, unresolved, conflicted relationships. And Father, you hate that. It's not what you desire. And so I pray that even in these moments, you would show us what we need to do, that we would obey the words of Christ to go quickly, to deal with our stuff, to extend grace with words that are true and kind. Father, in those places where we need help, would you give us the courage to ask for help, to engage again in these broken relationships? And Father, we look forward to how you will do this, how you already are doing this. And we give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen.
Together, strange as neighbors.
Well, again, thank you for being with us this morning. The prayer team's going to be right here. John and Eunice would love to pray for you. For some of you, I would just encourage you maybe just sit back down for a moment and just have some alone time with God in regards to what's going on in your relationships. As we finish up, again, we have the privilege as part of our worship giving our offering, and so you can do that online or in the buckets in the back as well. Next week, after we celebrate Thanksgiving, the message will be the last of our relational series, and it will be forgiveness. And again, just a powerful message again, just around that principle of God's forgiveness for us and how we sincerely and truly forgive others. So God's blessing to you. Have a great Thanksgiving. We'll see you next Sunday.